Stand for the reading of the word. Joshua chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And here's what Rahab did. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious word. Let's be seated. You know, really, verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2 is an introduction to chapter 2. It's basically telling us what's going on, what Joshua has started by sending out these two spies. And then when you read down through the chapter, you read the result of the two men going to Jericho and the story of this great lady, Rahab, that I want really to talk about this morning. But, you know, even in verse 1 there, in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. You know, there's even a lot of teaching just in this first verse. First of all, we see that Joshua, remember, Joshua was one of the 12 spies. Do you remember Joshua and Caleb were the two faithful men, the two men that brought back the honest report? Who better to go and to spy out Jericho than Joshua himself? But you know what Joshua does? Joshua sends others to do the job. You know, that's a sign of a good leader, isn't it? That's a sign of one who's willing to delegate, one who's willing to trust others. And you know, not only that, I think it showed that Joshua felt that he had men he could depend on. And there's even a simple lesson there. Joshua looked to these men. Joshua realized he couldn't do everything himself, and he was willing to ask these men to do the job for him. It was good that even though God had promised them victory, do you remember they were told that they were going to have the land, they were told that they were going to conquer, why then send out the spies? Surely it's just a matter of walking in and claiming what the Lord has for you. But you see, again, it's that wonderful lesson between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Even though God has said, you're going to live a victorious life, you and I have a responsibility to live that victorious life, a responsibility to seek out through the Word of God how we can be victorious in this world that has no time for the Savior, no time for the Lord, and no time for the Word of God. How can we live that victorious life? Yes, we are promised victory, but you have to look for it. And you have to live in a way that the Word of God would instruct you to live. It was Cromwell who said, yes, trust in God, but keep your powder dry. We have a responsibility as well. Something else here that's worthy of note. Notice that he just sent them to Jericho. You see, beyond Jericho was Ai. Beyond Ai, there were other places. There was a whole land that had to be conquered. But do you see what Joshua's doing? He's taking it one step at a time. One step at a time. Sometimes we never get past Jericho because we're concerned of what's beyond Jericho. And maybe in your life, the Lord has asked you to do something, and in front of you, there's an issue that has to be dealt with, but you're thinking, what's beyond this issue? What's going to happen beyond? The Lord's asking you to take one step at a time. And don't be worried about what's coming next. Someone has said this, don't spoil today by worrying about tomorrow. The hill flattens out when we come to it. It was Martin Luther said that his most favorite preacher was a little robin. He said he used to set out breadcrumbs at night, and the little robin would come down and take the breadcrumbs and fly up to its nest or branch or whatever. It would lift its head up to God. It would put its head down, go to sleep, and hadn't a thought about tomorrow. And it was Luther said that was the greatest preacher that he ever watched. I want to think about this character called Rahab this morning. I believe she was a lady who certainly was journeying with Joshua. She was a lady who certainly made progress. We're told in verse number 1 that she was a harlot. We're told the same thing in Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. I think I mentioned this before. We preached about Rahab recently at the drive-in church. Perhaps you were there. We preached the gospel on this dear lady. And I said, I wonder, is the Lord reminding us, because her sins were certainly forgiven, but I wonder, is the Lord reminding us that there's nobody too hard for him? And I don't care who you are this morning. And I don't care how long it has been from you've been alive and you've never trusted the Lord. I don't care how bad a life you've been living. If you're watching from home this morning, really Jeremiah reminds us there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And if Rahab could be saved by his matchless grace, then I believe you too can be saved by his matchless grace. I'm going to do something simple this morning. I'm going to put Rahab in the dock. You buy a book in Joshua and you'll come to Joshua chapter 2 and you'll find many critics of Rahab. And so what we're going to do as God's people this morning, we're going to put Rahab plumb and center here and we're going to examine her life. And we're going to try and discover how bad was this woman? How bad was she? And then when we look at Rahab, I believe the Spirit of God will cast the spotlight on us. Because this is what the Lord has done to me. And I want to think first of all about Rahab and Rahab's God. There's no doubt that she was a sinner. I think we know that she was defiled. We're told she was a harlot. I don't have to spell that out in a family service like this. Spiritually, she was dead. I don't think anyone can argue about that. And she was doomed. As a resident of Jericho, the judgment of God was about to fall upon Jericho. You know how the story ends. You know how the walls come tumbling down. You know how that they will be thoroughly and totally and utterly defeated. And so she's doomed. She's damned, if you like. She's facing the judgment of God. And so when we look at Rahab, we have no doubt that she was a sinner. No doubt at all. Look at verse number 9. Look what she says to the men. Remember, here's a woman brought up in a pagan country. She had no scriptures. She had never listened to a preacher. But look what she heard in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Here's a little bit of her testimony this morning. She tells, first of all, what she did fear. She said she'd heard all that they had done, and she was filled with fear. She knew she was living in a condemned city. She knew she was under condemnation. She says, all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And God had put fear in the people's hearts, and particularly in her heart. Have you fear in your heart this morning? And I'm thinking of those who are not saved. I wonder, is there fear in your heart? You know, there's great fear out there about the second wave. And you see countries starting to lock down particular places again. And no doubt many people are living in fear. And maybe you know something of that fear this morning. But you know anything about the fear of God this morning? The fear of falling under the condemnation of God and being lost in hell for all eternity. And sometimes when we preach the gospel, we can be criticized for putting fear into people. But you know, Noah was moved with fear. And Noah knew the judgment was coming, and he was moved by fear. And the fear of God gripped Noah, and he became a man of God. I make no apology for that. And if you really knew what hell was like, you'd be terrified. And you see the fear that this woman had, not only what she did fear, but what she did hear. Look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Do you notice what you heard? How they had been delivered from Egypt, and how they'd been brought through the Red Sea. How were they delivered from Egypt? Do you remember the blood of the lamb? Remember the Passover lamb was slain and the blood was put on the lintels? And you remember how they marched out of the land? You remember what happened when they came to the Red Sea? I preached on it a few Sundays ago, and they were stuck. And yet God made a way when there was no way. And they marched through the Red Sea. And Rahab heard about that. She heard about what the Lord had done for the people of God. And not only was there fear, but there's the things that she heard. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What have you heard? You have heard about the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You have heard what the Lord has done, perhaps for some in your family, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And just like Rahab this morning, there's that fear. Fear of dying without Christ. And you have heard all that the Lord has done. But you know, there was something else she heard. Do you see the end of verse number 10? And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. And you know, she not only heard the fact that they had been saved, she had heard they were living victorious lives. Because these two kings were defeated. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 21. They tried to stand in the way of the people of God. They tried to stand in the way of God's plan, and God took them out. And here were a people that were delivered by the blood of the Lamb, a people that were living victorious lives, and she heard about it. You see what she did fear? Do you see what she did hear? And now there's one who was dear to her. Look at verse 11 in Joshua chapter 2. Just a simple look at Rahab's testimony this morning. We want to make sure she's saved, don't we? We don't want any question mark about her salvation. We're putting her in the dock. And she's looking to break bread here this morning, but we're not going to let her break bread unless she's saved. And so she's under the spotlight this morning. Verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And here she confesses with her mouth the Lord. And she says, he's the only God, the God in heaven, the God in earth. He's the God that's in control of anything. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. She's saved by faith. That's what the Hebrew writer said. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace, she believed, and she was saved by the wonderful, mighty grace of God. You know, for 40 years, people living in that city had heard the same thing, because remember, when the children of Israel came through the Red Sea, they were on their way to the Promised Land, but they didn't get there. You remember how the 10 spies brought the dishonest report, how they wandered in the wilderness for nearly 40 years. Some of these people had heard the gospel, if I can put it like that, 40 years ago. And only Rahab responded. How long has it been? How long have you been listening to the gospel? How long have you known that you should be saved? Now, I'm just preaching what the Lord has given me this morning. I don't know who's watching online. I'm just giving you what the Lord has given me this morning. Here's a lady saved by the grace of God, but there were those who for 40 years knew the same thing that Rahab knew, and yet they believed not. They were condemned and they went to hell. How long are you going to wait? How long before you get saved? Let me ask another question. How long have you got? Now, I'm putting Rahab in the dock here this morning. You see in verse number 9, look at Joshua 2, you see the faith of Rahab. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you this land. You see her faith? She says, I know. God promised it, and I know that God will keep his word. Do you see Rahab this morning? There's no doubt that she's saved. She never had a Bible. She had never been in a gospel meeting. She had never been at a drive-in church. But she heard about the Redeemer. She heard about the Lord, and she wanted to be part of the people of God. And by faith, Rahab is saved. And so we're putting Rahab in the dock. I think you'll have to agree with me this morning, and you'll have to agree with James and agree with the Hebrew writer that she's a saved woman. So we're putting Rahab in the dock. That's Rahab's God. Now let's come to Rahab's guilt this morning. We want to examine this woman. She's been criticized for hundreds of years. And so we want to see how bad she is this morning. Look at verse number 2 in Joshua 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Here's the king of Jericho, and he must have put men around the walls of Jericho to watch out for enemies that were coming. And these men must have had a good eye for the spot of these two spies coming into the city. And so they tell the king, these two men have turned up. And the king wants them dealt with immediately. Do you know, the king would teach us a lesson, wouldn't he? Because sometimes little sins come creeping in. The king didn't wait till the whole army came before he would deal with it. There was just two men. And he wants to nip it in the bud. And he thinks, if I can snuff these two men out, it'll discourage the children of Israel. There's a good chance, because they have a history of it, they'll turn away and walk away and go back into the wilderness. Isn't the king cleverer than us sometimes? We let little sins creep into our lives. And yes, we know there's a little sin there, but it's just a little sin. We'll let it go. And then another little sin, and before long we find ourselves living a life of sin. This man was better than that. You know what Peter says? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Lord Jesus said, for the children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. And this man was wiser than some of God's people. He could see the problem coming, even though it just was a small problem. But he wanted to deal with it, and he wanted to deal with it immediately. Now look at verse number 3, because this Rahab I want to think of especially. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. They must have watched the men. They've seen them go into Rahab's house. And here's Rahab's guilt. Look at verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Verse 5, she says, I don't know where they went. It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And you see what she says? She says, the two boys must have left, and if you go quickly, you may catch them. Now, do you see what Rahab's doing there? She's telling a parcel of lies. She's telling a parcel of lies. And so we've got Rahab in the dock here this morning. And we're all looking at Rahab. Sometimes God's people like to do this. They like to put another believer in the dock and look for the faults in the other believer. So we've got Rahab here and we can see she's a liar. Let me say this. It's never right to tell lies. The end doesn't justify the means. That's Jesuit teaching. And they believe, as Jesuits, they can lie as long as they think that the end is somehow good or is what they want. That's not biblical teaching. That's Jesuit teaching. Some have said, surely because she's mentioned as a woman of faith in Hebrews 11, God must have approved of her lying. But Samson's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And none of us would want to hold Samson up as a paragon of virtue, would we? Some have said because James mentions her as an example of works, surely God must have somehow condoned the fact that she told lies. But you know, it was her works, not her words, that God commended. You know, in Luke 16, verse 18, you read a story about an unjust steward. And the Lord commends the unjust steward. Now, he was unjust, he was dishonest. But what the unjust steward did, he prepared for the future. And the Lord commended those who prepare for the future, but not the way he did it. And it's the same with Rahab here this morning. But Rahab's in the dock. She's guilty. She's told lies. Let's think about Rahab for a moment. She never had a Bible. She wouldn't have known the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. She was brought up in a pagan land. I mean a pagan land. Where the difference between truth and untruth or honesty and dishonesty, well, it was so blurred it didn't matter. So I want you to step into Rahab's shoes this morning. Brought up in a pagan land, never had a Bible. Dishonesty and honesty didn't really matter in her life. What's your excuse this morning? Now we've put Rahab in the dock. Let you and I stand for a moment. Have you told a lie recently? Now, I'm not excusing Rahab's lying, but I'm giving you a wee bit of her background. Now, what's your excuse this morning? Rahab had no Bible. Rahab didn't have the Ten Commandments. Rahab came from a heathen, idolatrous, pagan background. She didn't have meetings to go to. She had no Christians to fellowship with. She's all alone in this big city, and she tells a lie. Now, tell me. Before we lift the stone, and cast the first stone, what's your excuse this morning? Now, we're putting Rahab in the dock and we're trying to be honest with Rahab this morning, about Rahab this morning. You know, she had no teaching, she had no Christian friends to discuss things over. She didn't have any books to read, she had no tracts to read. And I say, I'm not trying to excuse her sin, because Romans 3 verse 8 says, Paul said, and not rather as we slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just? It's never okay to do evil for a good cause. It's never okay to tell lies. But think of her background. You know, she had a lack of faith in God. She knew that God, in an impossible situation, when the children of Israel, because she talked about it, when they were standing with the Red Sea in front of them, the mountains to either side of them, and Pharaoh at the back of them, they were beat. They could do absolutely nothing, and yet God brought them through. So she had a lack of faith. But let's get back to Rahab again. No Bible, no meetings, no fellowship, no teaching. Have you shown a lack of faith recently? Has God been asking you to trust him, but you haven't? Now, we've put Rahab in the dock this morning, and we're asking the question then, what's your excuse this morning? What's my excuse this morning? Am I going to lift the first stone and have a go at Rahab and say, Rahab, you're a liar? And I want you, Rahab, to go through those doors, and I never want you to come back. Are you going to be honest this morning and have a look at your own life? Look, we have fellowship, we have the Word of God, we have all the teaching that you could want. We've been instructed, some of us, from our mother's knee. And yet, as we look at Rahab this morning, are we any better? You see Rahab's God this morning. You see Rahab's guilt this morning. What about Rahab's goodness this morning? She never had a Bible. She never met a believer. These two men arrive. There must have been something in her heart said that these people are part of the family of God. And I'm sure because God has done so much for them, they must really love each other. And so she wants to show the love of God to these two fellow believers, if I can put it like that this morning. And we're going to see God's love demonstrated in her life. Now, come back to me this morning. As I look back over, take the week that has passed, has anyone anywhere seen God's love demonstrated in my life or your life? Now, you were Rahab in the dock this morning. We're going to have to be honest about it. You see what Rahab's done? Look at verse number 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. First of all, she welcomes them. They get hospitality. They get shelter. They get warmth. Look at verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them. You know, she's not only welcoming them, she's protecting them, and she risks her life for them. If she was found out, she would be put to death. But there must have been something in her heart that said, these people belong to the Lord, and I'm going to have to show them the love of God. And so she welcomes them. She doesn't give them the cold shoulder. She protects them. She doesn't want to expose them. She risks her life for them. She must have thought, God is so good. His people must really love each other. Verse number 6, she brought them into the roof of the house, hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. Do you know what she wouldn't do? She wouldn't betray them. She wasn't going to gossip about a fellow believer. She's not going to betray them. She's not going to let them down. She's not going to talk about them behind their back. Now, we've put Rahab in the dock. Let's all get into the dock this morning and see how we're doing this morning. Have you talked about a fellow believer? Have you been throwing stones at them? Have you been having a go at them? Rahab had no Bible. Rahab had no other believers. She'd never been to a meeting. She'd never been to a prayer meeting. She'd never heard a thrilling sermon. But here she's displaying the love of God. You know, she's even generous with them. Look it down to verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. She takes this cord that she has and she lets them down through the window. She uses what she has to help her fellow believers. She's generous with them. Do you know believers are in need? Do you know believers with particular need? Maybe they're getting it tight. They're too proud to say anything. They're too proud to admit it. But you know about it. Here's Rahab. These two men were in need. She had something that could meet their need. And she takes it and she says, use this. Maybe the Lord's hitting a raw nerve in somebody this morning. Maybe there's someone there with need. And maybe you've been criticizing them for getting into that position of need. Whereas Rahab would have wanted to help them out of that place of need. Now, we've put Rahab in the dock. We want to see how bad a woman she is this morning. You know the interesting thing? If you look at verse 18, and again, I believe this to be true, but I'm not being dogmatic. Behold, when we come into the land, these are the two spies speaking to her. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Could it be that there was scarlet thread in her home and she says, use this to get out? And they said, you see that scarlet thread? You hang that in the window. When we come back to the city, when we see that scarlet thread, your house will be safe. Now, I know the scarlet thread is a wonderful picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's how I would preach it. But do you see what she gave to the Lord come back on as a blessing to her? Do you see that? That's the simple point this morning. The Lord is no man's debtor. And she, what she had in the home, she said, you men use this, it'll help you. And they said, the very thing that you have used to help us, God is going to bless you because of that. Isn't that a wonderful truth that we find in the Word of God? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You're wondering why you're a miserable Christian. Because you're a miserly Christian. Is that why? May not be the case. But maybe that is the case. I'm just drawing simple lessons from this dear lady this morning. Because I put her in the dock. And Rahab was willing to use whatever she had to help the people of God. Listen, she welcomed them, she protected them, she wouldn't betray them, she gave to them, she guided them, she loved them. She told them in verse 16 to go to the mountain. She told them where the safest place was. She told them to wait because faith also involves patience. Hide yourself 3 days. Just you be patient. You wait for the right moment and then go back to Joshua, go back to the camp. You see, she guided them, she directed them, she loved them. She never had a Bible, she never had a scripture, she never had another saint, she never heard a sermon. And she stood alone. Wasn't another believer in the city. And maybe you're standing alone in the home this morning, in your workplace, you're the only one. I wonder how you're showing your family the love of God, the way Rahab showed these men the love of God. I need to move on quickly this morning. You see Rahab's God. You see Rahab's guilt. You see Rahab's goodness. You see Rahab's goal. Now, I'm putting her in the dock this morning because I want to weigh my life against Rahab to see how bad she is. Remember, she's a liar. She's told lies. And so we want to sort her out this morning. And we're putting her on the spot. And so I want to talk about Rahab's goal this morning. In 1897, Dr. Grenfell met D.L. Moody for the first time, and he told Mr. Moody how he was saved through his preaching 14 years previously. And Moody said to him this, what have you been doing since? What a question. What have you been doing since? How long are you saved this morning? What have you been doing since? You see, Rahab, look at verse 14. Now, therefore, I pray you, she's speaking to the two spies, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Do you see what she wants above everything? Her family see it. She mentions her father. She mentions her mother. She talks about my brother, and that's her brothers and her sisters. And she says all that they have, not forgetting the little ones. Don't forget the children. Don't forget to pray for the Holiday Bible Club. Do you see Rahab's heart? She's not content to be saved. She wants her daddy saved. She wants her mommy saved. She wants her brothers saved. She wants her sisters saved. She wants her nephews and her nieces saved. I would take it by this, she probably wasn't married herself because of the lifestyle that she had lived at this particular time. But you can see that she has a burden for the lost. But you know, for her to tell her mum and her dad and her brothers and her sisters that they would have to come to her house and they'd have to be under the scarlet thread, they would need to be under the blood, if I can put it like that. She was blowing her cover. And she was risking everything to try and see her family saved. Now, dear believer, she didn't have a gospel tract. She didn't have a gospel meeting. She didn't have a Bible. She had no sermons. She had no Christian friends. But she's got a burden for the lost. Now, what about you this morning? Have you invited anyone to the drive-in church? Have you shared the gospel with anyone recently? There's a wee man in North Belfast handing out gospel sermons from Refrain Baptist all over the Shankill, the Fall, all over the country. Because he's got a burden for the less. He's over 80 years of age. And here's Rahab, no Christian background at all. But God had put something into her heart. There was a real love for the lost, a real passion to see her family saved. Have you got it this morning? We're putting Rahab in the dock this morning. She's standing there in front of us. We can all see her. We can all read about her. And we've looked at Rahab's God. There's no doubt she was saved. We've looked at her guilt. She was guilty. We've looked at her goal. Let me say something about Rahab's listening. Because, you know, she has an effect on others. Look down to verse 23. We'll do this quickly. And the two men returned, or so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell him. And Joshua here receives a full report. They've told him about Rahab. They told him about how things had worked out. And Joshua, you know, would be thrilled. He'd hear about the providence of God. He would know that God was on their side. Look how they summarized it in verse 24. Then they said unto Joshua, today the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. You see, they said, we've got victory already. How did they know they had victory? Because they spoke to Rahab and because Rahab spoke to them. Look what they said. Even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. How did they know that? Rahab told them. Here were two spies. I have no doubt they were nervous. They were apprehensive. They went out to see the lay of the land, and God brings them to Rahab of all the people. And Rahab has been saved. And God brings believers together. Have you ever seen that? I've known young people to go to university, and the first person they meet is another Christian. And God has that way. I've known people in hospital, and there's a Christian nurse, there's a Christian doctor. The Lord has a way of bringing believers across our pathway just at the right time. And they could see the providence of God. And when they listened to Rahab, and when they saw what Rahab had done, and they could see her love for the lost and how God had changed her life, my, it lifted them and encouraged them. They said, we have this city taken already. What's Jericho famous for? I've been in Jericho the last time I was in Israel. And when you go to Jericho, there's one thing you want to try and see, the ruins of the walls. Or where they think the walls were. These two men didn't mention the walls. Do you remember the 10 that went to spy out the land of Canaan? All they could see was the giants. See, if they had went to Jericho, all they would talk about is the big walls. All the big walls. It's like trying to get a church built in Refrain. All you ever get is the big walls. So much bother. So much trouble. These two men didn't see the trouble. They saw the potential. And they were willing to go for it. They say, we already have it. It's already there. Victory's ours. Because there was a child of God who shone for the Lord. See the difference you can make? What difference are you and I making in the lives of others? Because we put Rahab in the dock. Yes, we can talk about how she told lies and we can criticize her. And that's fine. But I want to look at the whole picture. Before you throw her out through the doors and tell her never to come back. Let's weigh Rahab up truly in the dock. Do you see Rahab's listening? Let me finish with Rahab's glory. As I say, we began looking at Rahab in the dock. I think by now we're probably looking in the mirror, aren't we? Because that's where God took me to. I was no longer looking for Rahab and criticism. I started to look at myself. And you see Rahab's glory. The wonderful thing about Rahab was, and I think many of you will know it, she's mentioned in Hebrews 11 as an example of faith. My faith, the harlot Rahab. She's mentioned in James as an example of works. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? But above all this, she's in the line of the Messiah. She married a man called Salmon. They had a child called Boaz. Boaz had a child called Obed. Obed had a child called Jesse. Jesse had a child called David. From David came Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. She was lifted from the hall of shame and put into the hall of fame. This wee woman, the only Christian in Jericho, and you're maybe the only Christian in your family, and the Lord took this wee lady and lifted her up, and she became part of the lineage of Christ. She had a part in bringing Christ, humanly speaking, into the world. What part are you and I playing in taking Christ into the world? Oh, we could say so much about Rahab this morning. She only heard about what God had done. You know, the children of Israel had actually seen it. She only heard about it. She knew nothing of Calvary's love. And yet she shows wonderful love to her fellow believer and even the unbelievers. We know all about Calvary. We've got the whole book before us. Surely we should be better than Rahab. Much, much better than Rahab. But I wonder this morning, as we've looked at Rahab this morning and we're finished, I wonder this morning, has Rahab challenged us? Has Rahab got us looking at ourselves? You see, I like the two spies as well. Because I've said this before. I heard Adrian Rogers say it one time. I don't know who first said it. But he said this in a sermon. Some believers see difficulties in every opportunity. Others see opportunities in every difficulty. And which am I this morning and which are you? Rahab had a serious amount of difficulties. But she only saw the opportunities. These two spies, boy, that big wall. In fact, they tell me there was two walls, an outer and an inner wall. These huge big walls, how will we ever get past them with the men we have? They didn't have any cannons. They didn't see the difficulties. They just saw the opportunities. And I like believers who bring me the opportunities because I have plenty who bring me nothing but difficulties. Will you see the difficulty in every opportunity or will you see the opportunity in every difficulty? Let's pray. Maybe we'll just stand as we pray. We'll just stand as we pray. Again, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the example of Rahab. And Lord, as we see how you brought Rahab out of that pit of sin, and Lord, what a pit of shame it was, and yet, Lord, she's in the house of fame. And Lord, today she's in glory. And Lord, maybe there's a lady, maybe there's a gentleman here, and Lord, and they need that same Savior. And yet, Lord, as God's people, how Rahab's life has challenged us. Just saved, And yet what a trophy of grace. Lord, help us to be trophies of grace, that others indeed will take note that we've been to Jesus. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, if the back rows would leave first, and then the same here, hopefully the office bearers will have the doors open, and just make your way out. I could ask you, try not to congregate in the church anyway. What you do outside is up to yourselves, but we want to try and keep everything as safe as we possibly can. Thank you so much for listening this morning.